Over the course of these pandemic months, I've had several conversations with parishioners who have lamented the suspension of in-person activities here at Holy Trinity. Frequently enough, these conversations eventually land on the phrase, "What I miss most is..." Some mention Sunday Mass, although at the same time they admit a certain hesitancy in returning too soon. Others miss the conviviality of encountering friends at parish meetings, discussion groups, and at coffee and donuts. So far, however, no one has mentioned that they miss coming to confession. Not one has said, for instance, "I miss those beautiful celebrations of reconciliation where we gather with other parishioners to be reconciled with each other and with God." Or, "I miss those penance services where the homilist stirs my conscience and helps me to acknowledge how I've behaved in a less than Christ-like way, but at the same time reminds me of God's inexhaustible love for me." Or, "I miss those reconciliation liturgies where the music lifts me and helps me to surrender heart and soul into God's tender embrace. I miss those opportunities where a patient, non-judgmental confessor allows me to talk out loud about some of the things that have kept me from being the person I want to be. And I miss the festive reception afterwards, where we celebrate the fact that even though we are sinners who are loved by God." Well, of course, no one mentions that they miss that kind of celebration because we've never experienced reconciliation like that. Although 57 years have gone by since Vatican II promulgated the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, which, among other things, called for a renewal of the Sacrament of Penance, very little has changed in our actual practice. And that, I believe, has led to the appalling decline in the number of Catholics who avail themselves of this sacrament. What's most surprising to me about this lack of change in liturgical practice is that the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy was approved by a vote of 2,147-4. I would have thought that with such a stunning majority, the assembled bishops would have been on fire to rush home and to create reconciliation liturgies like the one I imagined a couple of minutes ago. Well, the fact that the Church has failed to reimagine confession is not the fault of St. Alphonsus Liguori, whose feast we celebrate today. Although Alphonsus lived some 300 years ago, he anticipated much of the thinking of Vatican II, and he initiated a sea change in how the Church thinks about sin and confession. Ironically, priesthood came as an afterthought to Alphonsus. At an earlier age, he had set his sights on a brilliant career in the legal profession. In fact, he received a doctorate in both civil law and canon law at the age of 16. Had Shylock traveled from Venice to Naples to attend that commencement, he might have exclaimed of Alphonsus, as he did of Portia, "A Daniel come to judgment, yea, a Daniel. O wise young judge, how I do honor thee." Nevertheless, Alphonsus quickly exchanged the practice of law for apostolic activity. At the outset, he was shocked at how poorly many Napolitano Catholics understood their faith. Although there were plenty of priests and nuns to go around, few of them ministered to the urban poor, and even fewer to the country people in rural areas. To rectify that glaring disparity, Alphonsus gathered a group of like-minded companions and formed the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer. Today we know them as Redemptorists. By the way, Father Jim Wallace, who faithfully served here at Trinity for many years, belongs to that religious community. Shunning many of the more attention-grabbing ministries, the Redemptorists, with laser-like precision, narrowed their focus to parish missions, where a visiting priest would come to town for a week or so and offer a series of catechetical instructions to strengthen the people's understanding of the faith. Then the priest would offer several fervorinos, or devotional talks, to dispose people to make a good confession and to re-embark on a life of ordinary goodness. It was in the confessional during these parish missions that Alphonsus made his greatest contribution. In his day, pernicious Jansenism had infected the church. It was a teaching that exaggerated the prevalence of sin in the world and insisted that all human beings were fundamentally depraved. Consequently, the Jansenists vigorously discouraged ordinary Catholics from receiving Holy Communion. For example, after one successful parish mission, the village priest was boasting to his bishop that over 300 parishioners had gone to confession and received communion. The bishop's mordant response was an emphatic, "Confession, yes, Father, communion, no." First in his own confessional practice, then in his writings on moral theology, Alphonsus counteracted the Jansenist image of a disapproving, fault-finding God with the image of a gentle God, ever eager to forgive. Rejecting the notion that human beings are fundamentally depraved, he highlighted that passage in the book of Genesis that recounts how human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. That, affirmed Alphonsus, gives each of us an innate dignity that is both indelible and inalienable. In other words, a dignity that can never be lost, not even by someone who commits a very serious crime. Would that Alphonsus, or the modern-day members of his Redemptorist family, pick up the ball that the bishops dropped when Vatican II ended. Would that they help us to fashion a church that relinquishes moral nitpicking and censorious exclusions based on gender, sexual orientation, and marital status. Would that they help us to reimagine a sacrament where all Christians feel affirmed and forgiven, healed and reconciled as much as did the prodigal son. May God bless you and give you health.